it. I think I'm gonna get started. My name is Aisha Shah, and I'm a program manager on the Microsoft project team. And in this session, I'm gonna be providing an overview of some of the key features that we delivered in Project 2013 in regards to timesheets and statusing. So I know most of you can probably not really see me because I'm really tiny and this podium's way too tall for me. So I'm gonna try and dodge the monitors every once in a while, but as long as you can hear me and see the screen, you should be okay. All right? They don't make these things, you know, for tiny people, so. All right, so what we're gonna talk about today is basically, three main things. I'm gonna start off with a general overview on, you know, what is timesheets and what is statusing, so there's a, you know, basic understanding for some people who might be new to this. I'll then move on and talk a little bit about the new and updated features that we've introduced, and this is all based on feedback that we've heard from some of you customers and partners. And then I'll go ahead and show a brief demo about some of the things that I'll be talking about. And there should be plenty of time for questions at the end, so please try and save that towards the end, because a lot of the stuff will go in a little bit more detail as we progress. So with that, let's get started. So timesheets and statusing is not new functionality in Project Server 2013, nor in Project Online. It's something that we've had in our product to its core for many, many versions, and something that you probably hear as a common thread across most of the talks, you know, this week was that we've strived for full feature parity. So both across Project Online and across Project Prem, you'll probably get the same set of functionality no matter what platform that you're using. And there may be a few slight differences, for example, on how you extend and bring your timesheet data into your own ERP system, but for the overall end-to-end experience of capturing granular timesheet data day by day, you know, it's pretty much the same across the two platforms. So before we get started, I wanted to spend some time talking about what is time and what is task progress, as these concepts are pretty fundamental to understanding the differences between timesheets and statusing. So time is the actual number of hours that get reported on task, and this is what you fill out on a timesheet to capture the time that you spent on different things during the work week. So I have a timesheet up here, and the field on the right tracks the time, and you can see that I've added 8 hours against task 5 on Thursday and Friday. Task progress, on the other hand, is it's the umbrella term for things like percentage complete and remaining work. And submitting task progress is a way to capture the broader description of what you currently have done in a specific task and what you think there's left to do to complete the task. So for example, say you're assigned to a task that has a duration of 5 days or 40 hours, and you spend 8 hours on the task on Monday, 4 hours on Tuesday, and 8 hours on Wednesday for a total of 20 hours. This is the information that you would enter on a timesheet. So it's the amount of time that you spent on a task on a specific day. However, when looking at the work that you did from a task progress perspective, even though you may have spent 20 of the 40 hours on the task, you may not feel that you're 50% complete. So even though you worked half the allotted time, you know, you may not feel that you're halfway done. You may think that maybe you're further along, 65% complete, or maybe a bit behind, 35% complete. So communicating this percentage complete, this is what we call your task progress. So how do these two concepts really work together? Typically, users enter progress on tasks daily, and at the end of the week, they'll go ahead and create a timesheet. And this timesheet gets populated with the planned work from the schedule in the project plan or from actual work reported by the team member through task status. And team members can go ahead and adjust the hours in the timesheet when needed without affecting the task status. On the other hand, if a team member were to fill out the timesheet first and then go and enter the task status, this information could also be imported by the team member, and the actual hours would get converted into percentage complete if necessary. So if any data was already entered in the task grid, this would get overwritten. So if you went that route, any previously entered data would get overwritten by this. Since the actual work spent on a task and the task progress may vary, and it may not progress at an even pace, and sometimes the task may take more or less time than what was anticipated, we've kind of intentionally not synchronized both these sets of data. So again, just to kind of set the stage, I'm gonna do a little bit of a recap of some of the out-of-the-box use case examples and capabilities that the platform offers. And let's kind of get started with time phase per day collection of actual work values and when and why do you use this. So some organizations have a very, very granular way of capturing what everyone is doing. And depending on the maturity and depending on the type of project, some teams and some project managers may just want to look at, say, percentage complete or the remaining work that's left. And timesheets allows you to kind of take this a step further. So organizations that require work submitted by resources to be recorded on a day-by-day basis, especially if the actual work is getting used for billing or payroll or other financial purposes, they would go ahead and use timesheets to track this. So it's used, for example, by IT when you want to do a chargeback to a business unit. So you may have a lot of resources that spend a lot of days and hours rolling out specific applications to serve a particular business unit. And you want to, obviously, from a financial perspective, go back and charge that business unit for the time that your resources have spent working on it. Another common scenario is service organizations. So you could have a set of consultants, and they're working on a set of engagements and projects across a set of clients, and you want to know on a very detailed level, you know, how many hours did, say, Sarah spend on project A? How many hours did she spend on project B? When did she take a vacation? When did she do maintenance kind of pre-sales work? So at the end of the day or at the end of the month, you get a clear picture of the time she spent on the various projects. And based on that, you can go ahead and, you know, push this data to your favorite accounting system and trigger an invoice for your clients. So with timesheets, you can track not only the amount of work that she spent on each project, but you can also track this work with your preferred level of granularity. And this is typically what we call time phase per day collection of actual work. And that's kind of typically how it's used by most of our customers. So in the earlier slide, you may have heard me talk about the entire picture of Sarah's time and capturing her non-work hours, such as vacation and sick leave. So for example, when Sarah is submitting her hours, she may have not spent the entire 40-hour week on her projects, and she may have spent, say, 10 hours or something else, like sick leave or vacation or training. And we can track all of these things on a project on a very granular level, and we call this administrative time. So any time that you spend on things other than a project can be classified as administrative time, and this could be, you know, vacation, sick leave, organizational meetings, training, travel, you know, and it may or may not have a monetary impact, and you can pretty much choose and set these categories for your organization. Site admins have the ability to set up these different categories for administrative time so that the resources can capture their hours on their timesheets and accurately represent the kind of work that they've been doing. And this, again, helps give you a clear picture of what everyone is doing at the end of the month or at the end of the year, and everyone's time can be fully accounted for. So we spoke about tracking time spent on your projects, and now you can also track the time spent on other things but that may or may not have a monetary impact by using administrative time. The last main bullet here is in the overview section was the approval process being separate from submitting project status. So now, typically, organizations will submit their timesheets at the end of the day or at the end of the week, and whenever anyone submits a timesheet, it triggers an approval process. And there are usually two levels of approval. So you have a timesheet manager that's going to be approving your timesheet, and that's the 40 hours of work that you reported. So that's one type of approval. And then the second level of approval will be from the project manager for the projects that you're delivering work on. And the projects that you're delivering task progress on. So this allows the project manager to really own the schedule and allows them to be the driver, and so they can track all of the work that's being reported and compare it to the actual work that was planned. So as you can see, there are many different options on how you can track time, and we go from the very basic to the very complex in terms of capabilities that we offer. So in summary, the project plan is a set of the tasks that you need to complete to finish a project. It's typically managed by the project manager, and it's where the tasks and assignments and the estimated cost get populated. When a task is assigned to a resource, it'll show up in statusing to allow the resource to enter task progress on it. And statusing and task progress allows you to update how far along you are with a particular task. And this information will bubble up in the project plan. Now, the task assigned to this resource will also show up pre-populated in their timesheet. And the timesheet lets you report how long in actual time you spent working on the different tasks. And this includes both tasks on your project as well as tasks off your project, like sick time and vacation via administrative time. Now, when this is submitted, the timesheet values will not really bubble up or affect the project plan in any way. So, you know, basically the resource says, here's how much time I spent on each task via timesheets, and here's how far along they are via statusing. And statusing is the only one that reflects in the project plan. So for the project manager, when he opens up the project plan, he can now see the work across all of his resources and determine work slippage or impact based on product deliverables, based on the time task progress information that he receives. And since timesheet data and statusing data can be fairly similar, what we introduced in 2010 is what we call single entry mode. And what this does is that it gives users the ability to enter time they spend on project tasks, as well as the progress they're making against the tasks in one view. And it can be turned on or off by the site admin. And we typically consider it best practice to use timesheets in single entry mode. And with the tasks being auto-scheduled tasks, and we also recommend that the site admins hide the task link in the quick launch so the users can enter the task progress only through timesheets in single entry mode. So, in summary, everyone uses timesheets and statusing to different levels of granularity depending on the need of their organizations. Some of you may need time-phase data to capture your resource information on a very granular level so you can charge it back and create invoices. Some of you may not need timesheet functionality at all, and all you care about is pretty much that middle box, which is what we call statusing, because all you care about is the remaining work and the percentage complete and how it affects the project plan. So, with project, you can customize and use these features to the level of granularity that you require to fit your organizational needs. So with that brief overview of what time tracking and statusing is, I want to go ahead and talk about what new features our product is offering and, kind of go a little bit deeper in that. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the end user improvements. Prior to this release, like every other release, we collected a lot of data points and feedback from key customers worldwide, from small and large companies, private sectors and governments and agencies. And one of the things that really stood out for us was that customers were not particularly happy with the user experience of submitting timesheets. These are the people who actually have to fill out a timesheet on a day-to-day basis. And on the project team, we kind of realized that one of the most tedious and yet common tasks that many users have to complete when using the project web app is filling out a timesheet. And to help ease the pain and make it faster for you to get back to your actual work, we've made several improvements to the experience in PWA 2013. So one of the first things that timesheet users will notice when they first open PWA is the new navigational interface and the tiles. So in this case, you see that we've enabled the timesheet style, which is typically not enabled by default, and you can see the number of outstanding timesheets that the user has, and it allows them to navigate to the list of timesheets and the timesheets summary page very quickly. So I mentioned earlier the style is not enabled by default, but can easily be enabled by the PWA administrator, and the administrator can further customize these styles on the main page. So in this scenario, because I mentioned with single entry mode, I want the users to focus on timesheets for both time tracking and statusing. So I've enabled, there's typically a task style here by default, and I'll show that to you when we do the demo. So I kind of disable the task style and, enable the timesheet style so they can focus on that as the mode of entry. You can also customize the quick launch, which is the navigational pane on the left, to include a link directly to timesheets. And again, you can, customize this by clicking on that edit links that you see down there. And do things like remove the task link, add the timesheets link, and allow the users to focus on timesheets as we did earlier with the tiles. One of the other most common complaints that we heard was regards to timesheets was that the user interface was too complicated and it overwhelmed and confused a lot of our users. So after navigation, the next thing that we looked at was cleaning up the ribbon to improve the user experience. So when you open timesheet in PWA 2013, you'll immediately notice that the ribbon is hidden by default, and this can place an emphasis on the timesheet grid, which is where the user spends the majority of their time. The ribbon will automatically appear when needed, so when the user begins entering timesheet data, the ribbon will show up. And the ribbon can also be accessed manually by just clicking on the timesheet tab. So notice the status area of the timesheet has been updated as well. In previous versions, the status field was just a simple indicator of the status of the timesheet. But in 2013, we've updated this field to provide more descriptive information about not only the present state of the timesheet, but also the actions that are available to the end user. So this kind of has helped to aim, help ease the learning curve and make the timesheet experience a little bit more intuitive and help the user decide what to do next based on the information that they have. So if you're familiar with previous versions of the ribbon, you may notice a few commands missing. Don't worry, we've not removed the functionality. We've just hidden it one level deep. So you can access all of the other functionality via the second tab that you see up there called Options. And here you'll find all the commands that were moved off from the default ribbon. And this is based on our research. You know, we feel that a lot of the commands were infrequently used and typically only used during setup of the timesheet view. So although we believe that the new distribution of controls would provide the ideal experience for most of our end users, there still may be some of you that have different needs. And if you're interested in learning how to customize the ribbon, thank you, you can take a look at the link on the slide that I provided, and you can download this from my PC, and you know, you can get more information on how you go and customize the ribbon to suit your organizational needs. Some controls that could be related to a specific line on the timesheet have also been made available now by the new context menu that appears when you right-click on any line in the timesheet. And this provides access to, you know, inline functionality without having to search for these commands on the ribbon. You know, but if you want, they're also available in the Options tab in the ribbon as well. Another common complaint that we heard was there was a lot of confusion between save, send, and the submit controls. And users were frequently unclear about which control to use when attempting to save and turn in the timesheet. So to help address this confusion, we made some changes to the send control in the new ribbon. So we've categorized these actions into two main groups, the save action, which is directly available on the ribbon, and the send action, which includes both status updates and turning in the timesheet. And we believe that this, in conjunction with the status message that I showed you earlier, will help users differentiate between the act of just saving their updates versus sending their updates for approval. We also made slight adjustments to the string for submit and changed it to turn in, as we feel that this was more descriptive of the actual action that the user was taking when they turned in the timesheet for approval. And just in case all of this was not enough, we also updated the tooltip descriptions for each of the controls to help clarify what the menu option does. Now let's imagine that I need to add a line to my timesheet to account for work that I need to pull forward from, say, a future period. I can select Add Row in the default ribbon and then choose Select from Existing Assignments, which will bring up a dialog. And this is not anything new. This is something that we had in the past. But in previous versions, the user was required to select the project and subtasks individually and scroll through a potentially very long list of assignments. But with the new Add Task editing experience, our dialog has some improvements to for the task selection experience, and we've introduced a tree control that allows users to drill down into their assignments by project and summary tasks, so they can choose to add specific assignments or project-level assignments in the case of task-level reporting, and we think this will help improve that navigational experience that we've heard a lot of complaints about. So beyond just cleaning up navigation and making existing functionality more understandable and accessible, we also worked on a couple of feature improvements. So a common complaint that we heard from timesheet users was that adding and maintaining administrative lines on the timesheet was a major hassle, and we did two things to help simplify that process. First, we made it easier to find the line that you're looking for by filtering the administrative lines by department. And this way, the PWA administrators can configure categories to only be available to a specific set of users or a specific department. So, you know, in this example, you can see the department has HR and marketing. So, you know, the conference categories will only show up for people in the marketing department. So, you know, many companies that we spoke to had hundreds of administrative time categories, and only a subset of those categories were actually relevant for an individual set of users in the company. So we believe that this new functionality will help reduce that clutter and confusion for the end user. And then when I talk about the improvements we made to the admin experiences, I'll kind of dive a little bit deeper into how you go about creating and configuring these different categories and departments. So earlier I mentioned we did two things. First was to add these categories by departments to make it easier to find and add new admin lines. And although we think that, you know, this will drastically improve the experience, we wanted to make it even better. So the next thing we did was to reduce the number of times the end user would need to add the line in the first place. So once you've added an administrative line to your timesheet, it'll be carried forward into each new timesheet created for a future period until you remove this line. And we think this will make it easier for users to add once and then have the line available for as long as they need to report time against it. The last major end user improvement we made was to add grouping. So in previous versions, you were only able to group the lines on your timesheet by either project name or by completion status of the line. And in PWA 2013, we've enabled grouping by almost any field. Note I say almost because custom fields are still not supported for grouping, but we think this is, you know, a big improvement from what we had in the past. So just to recap, we made a ton of effort to improve the end user experience. In order to simplify user interface, we started with reorganizing navigation, cleaning up the ribbon. We did work to clear up the confusion between save, send, and submit by making improvements to ribbon commands, tooltips, and the status message. We know that there's no such thing as a perfect week, and things can change due to market conditions and circumstances, so we made it simpler to add a new line to a timesheet. The next thing that we introduced was carry forward admin lines. So if you define a set of admin tasks that you want to appear every week, this will automatically appear on your timesheet. And the last thing we did was add grouping, because, you know, everyone has their own way of structuring their timesheet, and, you know, they have their own view of how they want to slice and dice their timesheet data. So we introduced this ability to allow users to look at their timesheet and pivot on it based on their own preferences. So while the end user improvements are great and they target, you know, pretty much the largest audience, we also wanted to make our project managers and our administrators happy. So we did some work to improve the project manager and admin experiences. And while these improvements are targeted at admins and project managers, they in turn also end up helping the end users. So it's kind of a win-win situation for us. A common request for PWA timesheets is the ability to support lines in a timesheet that are not related to a specific project and are not personal tasks either. So, for example, work spent on a service ticket or ongoing maintenance activities. You know, in PWA 2013, we have expanded the concept of administrative time categories to encompass this form of work by allowing multiple lines to be added to every administrative category. So, in PW settings, the interface for configuring admin time categories, there's now an additional checkbox that you see over there that says allow multiple lines. And by selecting this, you know, I can configure the service tickets category, for example, to show up multiple times on someone's timesheet. So if they want to track time against multiple different service tickets in one timesheet, they can kind of do that. So on the end user side, the admin time has been renamed to non-project work. So now, as an end user, if I want to track time that I've spent in resolving a service ticket, I can now do so by adding a new non-project line to my timesheet from the add row experience that I showed you earlier. And this brings up a dialog, and they can select the category and provide a description so they can add information like the ticket number, and they can choose a category for service tickets. So previous administrative lines like vacation and sick time can also be added by selecting the appropriate category from this dialog. But neither of those categories, if you recall, were enabled for multiple lines. So the behavior for adding or re-adding those lines will be consistent with previous versions. And we decided to differentiate categories that should have multiple lines from those that shouldn't to avoid confusion for customers who don't want to make use of this new functionality. You know, and also there could be scenarios where, you know, you want to allow users to have only one vacation-related line per timesheet, so we think this will help enable that functionality. So here's an example of, you know, when I've entered a ticket number for which I need to track time against, and I can click OK to add it to my timesheet. And now you can see that I have two tasks for tickets 3423 and 3437 in my timesheet now, and they both are in the service ticket category. So this is what multiple lines gives you. So as I mentioned in the end user improvement section, the admin lines are now carried forward to a new timesheet in future periods. So the new behavior supplements the non-project work scenario by making these service ticket lines automatically available in future periods without any additional work from the user's part. So if they want to continue tracking work against this, they don't need to re-enter the service ticket number. They can just, you know, go ahead and track work against it, and then when they're done with it, they just remove the line from their timesheet. So this example showed how to add lines to timesheets manually, but you can also imagine having some kind of tighter integration with a third-party ticketing system through the use of event handlers to automatically add lines for assign service tickets to users, timesheets, and then validate and import the line back to their ticketing system. So, you know, when I talk about the improvements that we've made for the developer experience a little bit later, I'll talk a little bit more about what we've introduced with event handlers to help support these kinds of scenarios. In the earlier screenshot, you may have noticed that there's another addition to the administrative lines category configuration page, and it now allows for departments to be related to administrative time categories. And I spoke about this a little bit earlier as well. So this is an answer to our common request, which, you know, where we allow for filtering on categories for customers and large organizations, and lots of administrative categories where only a subset are relevant to a specific set of users. So in Project 2010, we introduced the concept of departments, and in 2013, we brought this concept to timesheets. And you can specify a department for each administrative category. and, you know, these categories will then only show up for those users with that specific department. If no department is set, it'll show up for everyone. You can also go ahead and select more than one department if you wanted to show up for two people. So, you know, you have that flexibility of deciding who and what sets of group of people see that. So it's important to note that filtering of administrative categories is not a security measure. It's just a simplification of the UI. So it only impacts the categories that the end users can see in that dropdown for selecting administrative time category when they're adding a new line to their timesheet. Users that have previously added a category to the timesheet will not see that line disappear if the configuration changes that would make it not available to them anymore. So for example, if the user was placed in a different department, or if the department removed that category for them, you know, it will not impact any previous timesheets. It will only impact future timesheets. The next thing that we did for admins was to add control over the default views. And as part of our effort to simplify the end user timesheet experience, we found that many customers wanted the ability to pre-configure the timesheet view so that the end users did not have to pay that startup cost of configuring the default grouping and sorting options for their timesheets. And in 2013, we've added an additional section in the timesheets view configuration page, allowing admins to pre-configure additional view settings for users. And the end users will retain the ability to, you know, customize this view further if they so desire, and the settings entered here by the admin will not override any of the end user customizations. It's just kind of there to help people get started. Also, view configuration for historical timesheets will not be impacted by these settings. So again, these settings will only impact any future timesheets that are created. The next thing that we added was the timesheets managers list. And this is new in 2013. So we're not using a fixed approval routing. Timesheet users have the ability to select the next account to which their timesheet would be sent when turning it in. And the timesheets manager list feature is designed to support scenarios where, say, your regular timesheet approval may be out of the office, and you need to, you know, submit the timesheet to a different approver. And it kind of helps you select who you want to submit the timesheet to. So in previous versions, the list of users to whom a timesheet could be turned in was created based on the users who were granted the accept timesheet permission. But with the security model changes that we made in 2013, which you can read about more on the link that I've added over here, the accept timesheet permission has been made obsolete. So, you know, now the list of users to whom a timesheet can be turned in, we call them the timesheet managers, and you can populate this list of timesheet managers in the new admin UI that has been created. So in PWA settings, under time and task management, there's a heading there for timesheet managers, which leads to this page where you can specify your timesheet managers. For customers who have more advanced configuration needs, there's a PSI method available for this list, so you can find further documentation on the interface available on the other two PSI 1 and 2 links at the bottom of the slide. So basically with this, for non-fixed approval routing, you can now set a list of approvers directly in the UI and allow end users to select from the options of timesheet managers. Lastly, closed tasks for updates. This is something that we already had in the past, but this menu option used to be available on the PWA admin page. And you know, when you really think about it, we think that this is not necessarily an admin task. This is something more that the project manager would do. You know, someone who's in the driver's seat, who, you know, once, who knows when a task is done, when it's closed, or it's been moved out to a future period. So, you know, we kind of wanted to bring this functionality to the forefront for the project managers. So now if I, as a project manager, want to lock it down, I don't, and I don't want to get continued updates from the end user, what I can do is I can close the task for update directly from what we call the schedule web part, which is the grid that you see when you go to PWA. And we think that this is a great improvement because it will make easier for the make things easier for the person in charge, and in this case, the project manager, to lock things down when they're ready to move on and they want to stop getting actual work reported on a specific task. So just to recap, not only did we improve the user experience for end users, we also improved the admin and the project manager experiences, which also in turn have an effect in further improving the end user experiences. And we added support for tracking non-project work, which is the time that the user spends on non-project related tasks that are not personal. And we brought departments to admin lines and timesheets, and we allow filtering for categories by department. We added control for admins and project managers to set the default timesheet view. We also introduced the concept of timesheet managers to support scenarios like the regular timesheet approver being out of the office or the resource having to submit to a different person at each period. And lastly, we made the closed task for updates feature more prominent and accessible for project managers. So we improved the experience for end users, we improved the experience for project managers and admins, and then we did some work to improve the developer experience and clean up the back end a little bit. And the first thing that we did was we did some work on the eventing model. So think of this as the hooks. So if you want to build custom code to push data to another app, and you know, we've added more granularity to better support such scenarios. A very common request for timesheets in Project Web App is additional functionality for the timesheet approval process. And while we were not able to bring the full power of Windows workflow to timesheets in 2013, we made some incremental improvements that should unblock some basic routing and messaging scenarios using event handlers. So to enable dynamic routing of timesheets to different users depending on business logic, you can now set the approve UID argument from both the on-reviewing and on-submitting event handlers for timesheets to dynamically specify the account that the timesheet should be routed to. And then to enable better messaging, you can now set up the cancel reason argument for the on-updating and on-submitting event handlers, and the message will be passed back to the user in the timesheet UI. And this enables you to specify business logic that validates submitted data with a message passed back to the end user informing them of any changes that need to be made for the timesheet to be successfully submitted. So consider a scenario using these updates in combination with non-project work lines detailed previously. When a user turns in the timesheet logic, when the user turns in their timesheet, the logic could validate that each of their non-project lines in the service ticket category match an actual service ticket in a third-party supporting system, and it can automatically reject the timesheet submission if the category cannot be matched. So using the cancel reason argument, using the cancel reason argument, the user can inform the lines that need to be updated upon successful submission. The timesheet can be approved by the user's immediate supervisor, but because of the additional non-project work, the lines must also be approved by the IT admin who can validate the service ticket accounting. So using the approver UID from the on-reviewing event handler, the timesheet can be dynamically routed from the user's immediate supervisor to the appropriate IT administrator to support the scenario. The next thing we did was performance. We made a ton of backend improvements to provide better performance to the timesheet interface. So if you use Project to track, you know, all of your tasks and all of your work across all of your projects, across all of the people in your company, then you can end up with millions of records in your system. And so we made a lot of improvements to handle this volume of data. We introduced a queuing mechanism back in Project 2007, and the reason behind this was that if everyone, say, submits a timesheet on Friday, and the last thing we want is for this to impact performance and scalability. So we create a queuing system so that, you know, the 10,000 people in my organization can submit a timesheet in one day, but I can still continue navigating PWA. So now when we step back and took a look at this, we noticed that with all of the performance improvements that we did throughout the product, we no longer needed this queuing system. And we were able to handle this large number of timesheets without a performance impact. So the timesheets save and tone and process have been removed from the queue and now run synchronously, providing both better performance and immediate user feedback for save and tone and operations. And project web app admins should note that the backend troubleshooting has been simplified by this change. So now users will immediately be made aware of the issues with the timesheet processing, and admins can use the ULS logs to find the records instead of having to track down failed queue jobs. So in short, there's no longer a queuing mechanism for timesheets, and you can now get better performance without losing any functionality. All right, so those were all the updates that we made for end users, admins, and project managers, and the developers, and improving the backend as well. And now let's move on to the demo so you can see all of the things that we just spoke about. Let me switch my screens. All right. So as an admin, when you go to your PWA site in 2013, we now have this Getting Started carousel that you probably remember from the keynote. And going here as a site admin, you'll typically see two carousels. And the one on top is focused on helping you get started with your project, and it's only seen by site admins. And if you feel like you have a good understanding of getting started, you can choose to remove this from this link that you see up here. And if you later decide that you want it back, you can go to the gear, you can go to edit page, insert web part, and you can add it back again. The second one, which is the one that we care about more, is track your work. And this is what every member will see on their site. And this is the one that you use to track all of your work across all of your projects. And it has some quick links and live tile information. So you see tasks in the approval tiles. They show the number of new tasks assigned to me, and they show the number of approvals that are pending on the tile itself. So this is the default set of live tiles that you see when you create a PWA site. Now, earlier we spoke about how we've improved the navigation for end users, and you can go ahead and add or remove some of these tiles under Track Your Work to customize this experience for your end users. So if I were to set up my PWA page to help the end users focus on timesheets, and then I can go ahead and customize this carousel. And since I have single entry mode enabled, I want the users to submit their task progress via the timesheet, so I want to remove this task style that you see over here. So to do this, I'm going to go to the gear icon, click on Edit Page, scroll down, check the Track Your Work web part, click on this little drop-down, and then click on Edit Web Part. And what this gives me is this little dialog on the right where I can choose which tiles I want to display and which tiles I want to hide. So I'm going to hide the task tile because I want my team members to enter all of their information through timesheets. And I'm going to select the timesheet style, and then I can hit OK. And then page and stop editing. So there you have it. You can see the timesheet style now show up on my PWA page, and I can see that I have three unsubmitted timesheets, and clicking on this tile will take me to see my timesheet summary page, so I can see, the status of all of my timesheet, what's been created, what's been improved, what state they're in. So I can get a high-level summary of all of my timesheets. Now, before I go and dive deep and click on these individual timesheets, I want to talk about the other navigational piece that we spoke about, which was improving, which was adding the link to the quick launch. So the way I would do that is click on Edit Links. And again, I kind of get a selection where I can choose which links I want to add or remove. And I'm going to, again, remove the task link and just add the timesheet link because I want them to add their task progress to that, and then save and close. And there, it's now in the quick launch. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to switch hats, and I'm going to look at the PWA side from a team member's perspective. So I'm going to look at it as Sarah. And you can see that the same navigational changes that I had, I need to refresh the page. And there, the same navigational changes that I introduced on the admin page are now also reflected over here. So clicking on the timesheet over here in the quick launch will now take me to the timesheet for the current period. I'm thinking. So if you're familiar with timesheets and you've seen this before, the first thing you'll notice when this page is loaded is that the ribbon is hidden by default. And this allows the user to focus on the timesheet. And the ribbon only shows up when needed. So for example, after the user finishes entering some time against the timesheet, the ribbon will automatically pop up encouraging the user to save or submit the timesheet. So I'm going to go ahead and add 8 hours against task 5 on Thursday and 8 hours against task 5 on Friday. And now that I'm satisfied with my changes, I'm going to go ahead and save it from the ribbon. And you notice that the ribbon kind of popped up automatically at this point. So I'm not sure if you caught this, but the status bar changed from yellow to gray from when I was editing the timesheet to after I saved it. And as you can see, the status bar helps clarify the current state of the timesheet and what the user's potential next steps are. So here it says the period is from 2-3 to 2-9, and it says that your timesheet is open. You can send the updates or turn it in. So I showed you how the ribbon appears automatically, but if you also wanted it on demand, you could click on any of these tabs, and they would open up and pop up just the same way. Something you'll notice that the timesheet tab has been really cleaned up a lot, and instead of having all of the potential options based on user feedback, we kind of scoped it down to the 90% use case scenarios that we thought people would require, and we did this to avoid confusion and clutter. So now in the default timesheets tab, you can save a timesheet like I just showed you. You can go ahead and send it. And as I mentioned earlier, we changed some of the language to help clarify the difference between the three options that you see here. So you can turn in your final timesheet and when you're done and ready to send it out to the timesheet manager for approval. And what this does is that it sends both the task progress to the status manager as well as the time reported to the timesheet manager for approval. You can choose to just send the progress for a single task or a selected set of tasks, or you can choose to send the progress for all of the tasks to the task manager for approval. So at this point, you're not ready to submit your time, but you're ready to submit the task progress to have it reflect in the project plan. Here in the timesheet grid, if I move this a little bit, you'll see that there's a percentage complete and remaining work field. And with single entry mode, you can see that, as I added the 8 hours against Thursday and Friday, completing the total 16 hours of work, this percentage word complete also got automatically calculated to 100%. So, like I mentioned earlier, turning in a timesheet turns in not only the time, but it also turns in the status to the status manager for approval, which will then reflect in the project plan. The next thing we spoke about was adding a role. So if you're missing a task and you want to that you worked on, or you happen to have some free time and you brought in a task from a future period, or if you want to add any non-admin tasks, you can do this from here. So this example, Sarah's company sent her to project conference in Anaheim for a week, and she wanted to have this reflect in her timesheet. So as you can see, there are a couple of pre-populated admin lines. And say she spent Monday and Tuesday and half of Wednesday at the conference, and she goes ahead and adds this to her timesheet. What happened? So against the conference line, I'm going to say, hey, on Monday I spent 8 hours, on Tuesday I spent 8 hours, and then on Wednesday I spent 4 hours. And then I'm going to go ahead and save this. So the second half of Wednesday, she spent traveling back to her office. And since I have multiple lines enabled on the conference category, if I want to break this down for any reason into two lines, I can go ahead and do this by adding a new line. So I can go to add a row. I can go to add non-project line. Thinking. There you go. This brings up a dialog where I can choose the category conference. So that's from the categories that I've made visible to me by my admins. And then I can go ahead and check if it's a work type or non-work type. And then I can say this is conference travel. So I can edit the description so I can make that more clear. And clicking OK will add this new line to my timesheet. There, it's down there. And now I'm going to go and add 4 hours against this for the rest of Wednesday that I spent traveling back to my office. All right, so if you notice again, the status bar has changed, indicating that I have unsaved changes. So I'm going to save this before I lose any of the work that I did. So before I go ahead and turn in this timesheet, I want to go and take a look at what I have scheduled for next week. So I'm going to go ahead and click the next icon in the ribbon. So what this is doing right now is it's creating a new timesheet for the next period, and it'll show all the tasks that are assigned to me in the next period. And what you can see here is that the admin line for conference travel that I just, has it moved yet? No, still thinking. Yeah, we just recommend doing it from the task progress, from timesheets if you have it enabled. It kind of usually helps avoid confusions, and you can see the updates in line. So, all right, so now that I'm on the next page, you can see that the conference travel line has been carried forward to the next period. So this new timesheet was created with the line that I had added previously. Say if I didn't want it in any future period, I could select it, go to the Options tab, and remove the assignment, and save it. And now if I hit Next again, the next timesheet that it creates, it'll create it without that assignment. So, you know, this makes it very easy for me to carry forward any additional admin lines that I've added, and then when I don't need them, I can easily remove them. So now that now you saw that when I, you know, went to the Options tab earlier, there were a ton of other options of things that I could do. And if you're a pro user and you want to do fun things like customize video view, you can go ahead and, you know, group and filter. You can reassign a task to someone else. You can remove a task like I just showed you. You can export it to Excel. You can print. But, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and do any of that stuff right now. What I'm going to do is that, you know, now that I'm satisfied with my timesheet for my period, I'm going to go back to it, and I'm going to go ahead and submit it. All right, so this is my timesheet for this period, and I'm going to go to timesheets. I'm going to go to send and turn in the final timesheet in the ribbon. So over here, it brings up a dialog, and I can see who I'm turning it into, and I can add any comments that I would like to add. If you recall earlier, I spoke about the introduction of timesheet managers. So in this case, Aisha is my timesheet manager by default, but if I wanted to change it and send it to someone else, I can click on the browse link and I can see my options for the different timesheet managers available. I'm happy sending it to Aisha, so I'm gonna cancel out of it, and I'm gonna hit okay. So you can see the status bar has again changed, saying the timesheet has been sent to Aisha for approval for a total of 40 hours for the period of February 3rd to February 9th. Now I'm going to switch hats again, and I'm going to go back to being Aisha, who's the project manager and the timesheet manager. Let's see. All right. And I'm going to go to projects and go to the schedule web part to see the status of my project. So I'm now looking at the project as Aisha, and I can see the status of all of my tasks in the project plan. So if I click on, if you actually look at task 5, which is the one that, all the way at the bottom that I just submitted, it says 0% complete and 16 hours of work. And if you recall, Sarah just submitted time on that. So if I go to the Approval Center by clicking on Approvals in my left nav, I'll see that timesheet show up over here, so it says, Sarah, for the period of here, this is the one. What I can go ahead and do is I can either select my timesheet over here in specific, and I can click on it to see the details of the timesheet. And I could, if I wanted to submit from here, I could go ahead and approve the timesheet. But what this would do is it would just be approving the hours. It wouldn't be approving the status along with this. So if I wanted to do it all in one go, I can go back to the Approval Center and I can select the timesheet along with all of the status approvals, and I can go ahead and bulk select and bulk accept this. If you wanted, you could add a comment and send that back to your resource as well. If not, you can just hit OK, and it'll go ahead and approve all of those status approvals as well as timesheet approvals. Before we go back and see this reflect in the project plan, I'm going to jump to some of the setup work. So I showed you non-project work from the end user's perspective, and now I'll show you how to get that set up and have it show up on the timesheet. So for that, you go to the gear on the top right, and then you go and click on PWA settings. And in this section, there's this time and task management section in the middle, and that pretty much deals with anything that's timesheet or statusing related. And the first thing that I mentioned I was going to show you is how to create categories for non-project work and set departments to it. And for this, I go to the administrative time link down here. So I can do things like add a new category. I can change the type of the work of the category. I can decide if it requires approval or not. So for example, anyone, say, reporting vacation time, I can say that that specific category requires to get approved, while the others don't. I can choose to always display it. So when a new timesheet is created for my users, that category is always available by default. You know, if it's not checked, then it'll still show up in that dialog that you see, but you know, it won't be there on the timesheet by default. If I want to enable multiple lines, like you saw for the conference, I can go ahead and do that from here as well. And then, like I mentioned earlier, you can also select which department or set of departments get to see this. And if nothing is selected, so I can, you know, choose HR and marketing. So that means it goes to both of them. It goes to both of them. I can decide not to select anything in this case. So if I select nothing, it goes to everyone. If I select specific departments, only those people get to see it. The next thing I'm going to go ahead and show you is how to set up the timesheet managers list. So I'm not going to, so for that, there's again another link over here that says timesheet managers, and you just go ahead and click on that. And now from the ribbon, I can go ahead and, you know, add a new manager for my set of users in my group. I can select a manager, and I can remove them from the ribbon itself, and I can go ahead and create this list the way I want to. And now the last thing that I'll show you is close task for updates, and I'm going to jump back to the schedule web part for that. So here you see on the right, there's a new column called locked, and this is something that as a PWA admin, you can go ahead and configure this view to show that column. So you know, I'm gonna go ahead and actually check this out for editing first. So task, hit edit. And actually, as I do that, you'll notice that task 5 now has 100% complete. So it's reflecting the status updates that I just approved from Sarah's work. So now that I'm in edit mode, I can go ahead and select any task, and I can set it to locked so that no one can report time against this anymore. And then closing is always good practice to publish. And then once that's done, it's always good practice to also close the project and check it back in. Takes some time sometimes. All right. So I've published it so everyone can see these updates. And then I'm going to close the project and check it back in. All right. And with that, we're going to pretty much wrap up the demo and open it up for questions. Adrian might know that one. He's sitting right behind you. Okay. We'll take it. If you stop by after, we can take your information and take a look at it. So get back to you. I think there's someone back there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if they've saved it but they've not submitted it, I believe they would get an error when they tried to turn it in. I'm sorry? So the lock field only applies to status approval, not the timesheet part of it. As auto approval? Yeah, you can. So if you put yourself as a default, so when you set up the timesheet and you add the resources, you can decide who the default timesheet approver for those resources are. So if the resources default approver is themselves, then it automatically gets approved. No, by default, they're their own approver. Mm-hmm. Status, yeah. Yeah. So turning in the one on top that you saw, I can switch back to it so you can see it. Let me just give me a second. Okay. So the one on top over here, turn in final timesheet, that submits both the timesheet and the status approval, and that's what Adrian said, we combine them into one button. And the two at the bottom are specific only for status approval. So if you want to send the progress for all of the tasks, you select the second one, and if you just want to select, say, a specific task and say, I just want to send the progress for task 5, I can select that and then send the progress for that one. So the one on top does both timesheet and status thing. Options in the controls to auto approve status updates.
So,
Oh, sorry, this is not the admin here. I think it might be this. I think it might be this one. Don't think it's this one. Find another one. One down. This one? This one. Okay, there. Adrian, I can't really hear you. Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, perfect.
So it's not a good practice because the project manager becomes clueless. And what I always say is the project manager is the only thing that stands between the project plan the way it's supposed to be and a team member submitting mistakes.
Right.
With auto approval rules.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, back there. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep, back there. Yeah, so when you create the list of timesheet managers, that's global for the PWA site. So you select it from there. So they have to be a user in PWA, so before you can do that. Yeah. I can't hear you too well. Could you be louder? I don't believe we've made any improvements to that since 2010. Yeah, so I think if you submit it separately, if you really wanted to do that, you could. But typically, for the status, you could. So every time you could add a status for one task and then submit it and then add the comment for that for each individual task. But I don't believe you can do it for timesheets, right? Yeah. 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 You could go take a look at our expo booth. I'm sure there's someone who can help you out. back there, yeah. There you go. All right, yeah. Can you send? So timesheets go to timesheet managers. I don't believe you can send them to multiple. Well, right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's good feedback.
There are
Mm-hmm.
So you can command the sending the fact sheet with the dialog box. You can command your home task, and you can command the fact sheet line on a weekly basis. And you got quite a big issue that when you submit the comment on fact sheet line, it's replaced by the logon information of the user who approved it. And it's not possible to somehow report it. So for instance, when my customer asked me to deliver the fact sheet,
it's always good when we know what the problem is, at least. Do you want to explain a little bit, maybe, what's going on? Okay. Both. Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll talk about it later. Update, yeah. Yeah. Custom fields. Yeah. You could potentially try to. Yeah. Not in the timesheet, but you could probably have it on the left hand side. So you could probably have it there, and that might. Yeah. It'll be an aggregate, though. You're right. So, yeah, back there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be an interesting way, just if you want to see who was submitted, how many things has been submitted. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you could probably try it with BSI. Yeah. Back there. Oh, yeah. There's a blog post on it. So if you just look up, I think it's like improvements to developer and admin experiences. I think that's what it's called. So if you just like look it up on Bing, I'm sure you'll hit it. Yes, as long as they're available for those people, the departments that they're part of. But yes, yeah. I'm gonna go back there again. Yeah. Uh huh. Uh huh. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, no. That would be great, but I don't know how we would do that. I mean, do the tooltips and stuff help at least explain and learn? Because that's what we try to do this time, is add more descriptive information. So, you know, we understand there's some people who use these terms differently. So kind of help at least guide them and what this actually means and what it does. Yeah. it's a big request, I'll say that. So yeah, right here.
Mm-hmm. You talk to project server people. Talk to project server people, they say, well, that's a ticket in our backlog and we'll get to it someday.
Right.
So now we're on the next version and the integration with TFS is still not very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Yeah. Adrian's been around for a long time with timesheets, so he has a lot of background in it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the solution I get. You say they go to TFS, you have the problem with a lot of work. That's the problem. So that's something we work on. People working on that system, I don't know if you're on
that. Yeah, sorry. back there, yeah. Yeah, because you can create timesheets, you know, even out. Every time you hit next, it creates a new timesheet, and then you can just kind of start.
I have another question to that. If I create a timesheet, I create a timesheet 4 weeks from now, administrative time. So my project manager is actually updating the project tasks for changing. What happens to that timesheet? Does it get updated for those new tasks, or do I have to recreate that timesheet as that new
timesheet? It should get updated. Yeah. Yeah. You should create a ticket for that. some assigned tasks in 2010 do not appear on the timesheet, even though the resource has been assigned it to them. Have you seen that bug before? When you look at this, yeah, it's like published and checked in. Well, do you have hours scheduled for the next week? Did they finish their work ahead of schedule by some miracle? So it got like, no? Okay, we can take a look at it offline if you have an example, and I can try to help you with that. Yeah. Right. I mean, you could probably do through like the reporting stuff and all on your own. There's nothing that we provide out of the box for that. So, Sorry. Yes, it is.
Here to stay.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again? Oh, the year-to-date admin hours. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we have that, no. All right, anything else? Oh, one more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Right. So is your question that it doesn't show up in the schedule web part until it's been approved?
It doesn't show up in the
report. Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So
for timesheets in specific, they need to be approved before it's official in any way. So if you're using the timesheets for billing purposes, you know, it's not going to bubble through that until the timesheet approval has approved the timesheet. All right. I think we're pretty much wrapping up at this point. Thanks a lot for coming, and yeah, you enjoyed it. Yeah.